The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Buster Olney, ESPN columnist.
The Astros go from a 60% chance of winning the AL to a 40% chance of winning the AL based on what happens in tomorrow night's game.
We haven't been talking enough about the impact of Edwin Encarnacion's injury on the Indians. You know, he badly sprained his ankle in the game on Friday. He's walking around the clubhouse with crutches and a walking boot. If you're an Astros fan and you're looking for a smoother path to the postseason, I think you'd be rooting for an Indians win tomorrow night.
Oh, did you see what Jemele Hill said? And then people react. Who cares what these people say? When there's a real issue that needs to be debated, we don't debate it. We become a society that is ruled by Twitter. It's all sound bites. It's 140 characters.
You're trying to pretend like this isn't a story.
We are so focused on trying to respond to what people say that that's become our job. That's become everybody's job. And I think it's dumb.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. It's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A-J is the real. At John Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates975. And, of course, you can text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's Tuesday. Missed any of that? All available at podcastarena.com. We welcome in our friends over at SportsMap 94.1 for the next
hello,
hour.
Hello, sports mappers.
Welcome. Hopefully you will enjoy the next hour.
I know we'll get dumped today.
Yeah, that was pretty good. That happened in the first segment, too. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
It's a first. But I don't want to follow up on this thing anymore. I'm just bothered that every time somebody says something about this subject, the whole subject comes up again. That's been happening for so long. I'm just frustrated with it. That's all. All right. You know what we did not get to do? The Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right. We always say don't leave your kid in the car, right?
Yep. We also say don't do meth.
Well, don't do meth. Don't do heroin.
Yeah.
Well, a Florida woman left her 2-year-old daughter locked inside a car in 110-degree heat. Of course, it's a Florida woman.
Right.
With the engine off for about 20 minutes. Do you want to know why? So she could visit a prisoner at an Orange County jail. That is not a good excuse.
It's not a good
right?
excuse. No, your probation officer is not going to be okay with that.
Yeah, and Barstool put together a list of things that people left their kids in the car for. Tell me where you think this one ranks. Ride rides at the state fair.
That's pretty bad.
Eat dinner with his smoke show girlfriend. Yeah, I think we can.
Does she not know that he's got a kid?
No, I don't know. Maybe that's why. Attend court for leaving her kids in the hot car and then leave her kids in the hot car at the courthouse.
That's got to be the worst.
Yeah. To drink on Mother's Day.
That's reasonable.
To attend a wine tasting.
Okay.
Get her makeup done on a 16-degree day. Oof. Go to the casino.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
you can't take kids in there.
Go to the sex store.
Again, Amazon.
Yeah. Get blacked out drunk. That seems fairly common. And shop at Walmart with her kids in the trunk.
Oh. So she left the kids in the trunk?
Yes.
That's actually a wise move. If you're going to leave the kids in the car, at least leave them where the cops can't see, right?
Yeah.
I mean, kudos to her for thinking ahead.
She shut her kids in the trunk of her car while she shopped at a Walmart in Riverdale, Utah. Tori Castillo, 39, faces 4 counts of child abuse. This is a story from May of this year. I don't remember seeing that. That's a pretty good one. Only explanation she had was my babysitter didn't show up. And that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Just thought we'd let the Sports Map 94.1 folks in on the Gem of the Day.
There you go.
How about that? Buster Olney kind of disagreeing with you.
Well, that's his opinion. He's allowed to be wrong, Fred. Everyone knows that.
A lot of people were complaining that the Berman and whoever was on the broadcast were like pro Red Sox the whole time. Listen, they're always going to be about the Red Sox and the Yankees. That's where ratings come from. That's just life.
At the end of the day, you got the last laugh.
Yeah, if it's the Cubs in the World Series, you're going to get the same thing.
Yep.
If it's the Dodgers in the World Series, you're going to get the same thing.
What if the Cubs play the Yankees? What are they going to do?
Oh, man.
Heads will explode. Mm. They'll cheer for seven games. That's what they'll do.
Seven games, and they'll pump the hell out of both of them.
That's what they hope for. No, I still think that the Indians are the more dangerous team, especially I would think, you know, I understand your point and Buster's point about Encarnacion. He's a big boost to that offense, especially from a power standpoint. He's like a 250-something hitter, but he's one of the few guys in that lineup that is a consistent home run threat.
Well, he's a guy that you know he's coming in the lineup, so you pitch differently. And, you know, that's a big loss for them. That was, you know, that's like taking Correa out of the Astros lineup. Yep.
But I still think from a matchup standpoint, you're much better off going against the Yankees, who they're throwing Severino and CC Sabathia and Sonny Gray at you, and Tanaka, I guess, than seeing Kluber, Carrasco, Bauer. You don't want that. I mean, you've got a big pitching advantage over the Yankees. I don't think you have a pitching advantage over the Indians.
No, I think you can match up with them, but they also did not play well against the Indians this year either. And that's another concern. But
and as far as Wednesday's game goes, I mean, to me, Corey Kluber gave up six earned runs in that last game, game two against the Yankees. You'd have to go back his last seven starts total to get six earned runs that he gave up. So my guess is he comes out and pitches a pretty good game on Wednesday. And if he does, and I mean, I guess CC Sabathia is not a dog this year like he's been in the past, but I would still say pitching edge goes to the Indians there. And he's right, though. Andrew Miller's not been himself, and their bullpen is banged up. But I still give me Kluber in a decisive game, I'll feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, unless what Buster intimated that he might have a hurt foot. If that's the case and it affects him, that's a different thing. Now, he made it sound like, it sounds like the guy doesn't have much personality.
No, he doesn't. But who cares about
that? Yeah, as long as he can deal, that's all that matters. But I'll be watching with interest just to see. And I had a few people ask me if I have any NHL plays tonight. I do not.
NHL plays?
No, I'll probably have some later in the week. It's just early in the week, I'm kind of focused on, you know, Sports Map and things like that. And by the way, speaking of Sports Map 94.1, you know what you can hear tonight at 8 o'clock on that channel? The pregame line with me and RJ Bell.
Oh.
Yeah. Good stuff today. Actually, RJ and I mixed it up a little bit today. We got into some very, very AJ and RJ-like conversations about a few things. So,
did you tell him I told you so about the Chiefs-Texans?
No, I told you so on something else that I agreed with you on.
Okay, good.
So,
because he did an I told you so to me about Jets-Jags from the week before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want him to remember that.
But yeah, it's actually good stuff. We get into a lot of stuff where we dig a little deeper into the trends and why you like a team and why you don't. And I do think Texans cover this week.
What's the number? 12.5, 13?
It's 10.
Oh.
It's 10 right now.
I feel better about that. I think the first number I saw and was
it's,
12
it, well,
and a half.
And it's gone down. So I think if it comes inside of 10, I'm really going to be on it. And I like the over, too. I think it doesn't matter who the Browns start at quarterback. It really doesn't.
Not really.
That's one where if you had Tom Savage starting at quarterback for the Texans, I'm all over the Browns.
Yeah.
But that's not the case.
I don't know if the Texans are a team I'm looking to give up double digits with. but I'm also not betting on the Browns.
I think they're going to run away and hide just like they did against the Titans.
They could.
Yeah, I think offensively they're gonna put up a bunch of points, and then the Browns will have to start throwing the ball around the yard, and there'll be a pick, and just like it was with the Titans. Max says, your rant on the media inspired me to mute some people on Twitter. Life-changing. Yeah, that's actually muting is pretty. I've kind of gotten now where, and again, maybe I'm just an old man now who, but anytime somebody starts trying to, it's like there are people who will intentionally try to get you engaged just so they can get attention.
Dude, there's a guy who's tweeted me for a long time about football stuff, and this on Sunday night during the Texans game, he randomly, like, he quote tweets something I said about the game. And said something to me about Trump and, like, started trying to rile me up about Trump. And finally I was just like, okay, you win. I blocked you. Like, I don't understand that. Like, why are you trying to force political conversation? That's the worst. If you have someone who's a willing participant, who's like, hey, let's chat about politics a little bit. What are you thinking about this? Okay. I'm trying to watch a football game, and you're trolling me about politics. It's a new policy. I'm not gonna. It's just a straight block. I'm not dealing with that.
Yeah, I've gotten where, you know, if somebody asks me a legitimate question and we get into a legitimate discussion, I'm fine. But if, you know, it's, you suck. Okay, bye.
Yeah.
You're gone.
Not today.
Not today, bro.
No, I've just gotten where I block a lot more people, and. And frankly, I think people get drunk and start tweeting stuff on there that they have no business. And
maybe so.
People start tweeting profanity at me. I'm going to block them. I don't have time for that, and I don't have interest in it. And maybe, you know, like I said, maybe I'm just an old man, but that's not what it's there for. So, 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. And right now, I got to tell you about Harry's Razors. And if you know what, if you're one of those people like me, you just hate going to the store to get razors. I hate going to the store to get razors. And I don't have to anymore because Harry's delivers them right to my mailbox. And for decades, one big razor company relentlessly increased prices. They reaped immense profits at your expense. So the guys at Harry's decided, hey, we're gonna fix this. We're going to buy our own factory. We're going to sell directly to you over the internet. And you're gonna save a bunch of money. They take less profit. They offer their blades at half the price, just $2 a blade compared to the $4 or more you'll pay if you go to the store. And the cool thing is you're getting great quality. You're getting the convenience of it showing up at your house, and you're saving money. Harry's razors include everything you need for a close, comfortable shave, a weighted ergonomic handle, 5 precision-engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they want you to try their shave set for free. You heard that right. Just cover shipping when you sign up. Plus, as a special offer to fans of the show, go to harrys.com right now and enter code BLITZ at checkout to get a post-shave balm, also free. That's harrys.com, code BLITZ.
Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. We're here on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. And Lamont says, I think Altuve and Springer were out during the Indian series. The first series they were when the Astros won 1 out of 3. Both those guys were out. The second series they were both there and the Astros were swept. So, again, it's regular season, and it's a small sample size.
And that was all in the first half
early,
of the season.
Yeah, it was April and May.
The Indians are a totally different team in the second half. So, I mean, and the Astros were a better team in the first half than the Indians were, truth be told.
Yeah, but
Indians were a better team in the second half. My whole thing on the Indians, since August 24th, from August 24th through October 1st, the end of the season, they lost 4 games. That's why I said it just seems hard to picture them losing 4 games out of 7 when they lost 4 out of...
Well, they've already lost 2 out of 4 here.
You're right.
And I mean, it's a different game. They were beaten up on a lot of teams that had quit. And, you know, the Dodgers were awful, and look at them. Suddenly they get the playoffs. They still won over 100 games.
Yeah.
But they were awful for much of the second half of the season. I think, man, the way I'd look at it is since the Astros got Verlander, they've been pretty damn good, too.
They have, absolutely.
So I just think it's going to come down to who pitches better, and I think it's a lot closer than you do. We disagree on that. I'm not as scared of the Indians as you are.
I'm definitely scared of them.
And they won one more game than the Astros did, and they had to go on that run to do it. And I think people forget. It's not like they won the AL by 10 games.
You're right.
So,
but it's also a matter of, you know, like I said, when the playoffs start, do you want the team that played their best ball in the first half or the team that played their best ball in the second half?
I want the team that's playing their best ball now and in the playoffs. And sometimes that's, you know, and yeah, I think the Astros played pretty damn well here down the stretch. Yeah, they were great at the beginning of the season, but they finished up strong.
They finished up strong, just not as strong as the Indians.
Well, I just think you're overstating it a little bit. I mean, I think you're ignoring the fact that once they got Verlander, they were playing like they did at the beginning of the season for the most part.
Yeah.
And got Correa back healthy. I think that had a lot to do with it, too. So fully healthy, if they can stay fully healthy, I like their chances. I'm not as confident as Jerome is, but I'm reasonably confident. I'm going to bump that up to 48%.
48.
I have convinced myself now I'm going up to 48%. Hey, have you looked at some of these lines?
I have not. I've told you. I'm not looking right on Tuesdays.
Well, give me.
And I've made a mistake because this week the market kicked my ass so bad.
Yeah, I'm not lying. I'm coming off the worst week of the last 3 years.
Like, it wasn't just that I was losing those bets, but it's that the numbers that I played early in the week went the opposite way of what I thought. So I'll be a late player this week. I'll be a Saturday.
Sitting out this week too. I haven't decided. It's one of those things. But ordinarily, when I have a bad week, you always bounce back.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's hard to have two awful weeks in a row.
Yeah.
But it's still not a good feeling, especially like I said, when just the market moved in a way that made me feel stupid.
Well, let me just tell you some weird line moves already. West Virginia against Texas Tech, open -7, now -3 West Virginia.
Oof. I'd be hard pressed not to play West Virginia.
Yeah,
especially I like at that three. Team. Well, Texas Tech is good though. Yeah. They're better than I thought.
How about over 79?
Yeah,
that's a good number, right? TCU opened 4.5, now 6-point favorite over Kansas State.
God, that's
at Kansas State.
Yeah, I would still lean TCU.
Yeah, I would too. The University of Houston opened -9 at Tulsa, now -13.
That's going away from where I'd want it.
Yeah. I still don't know what UH is. And
Tulsa sucks though. Tulane stomped them. Yeah,
Tulsa's bad, but it was interesting watching that UH SMU game because SMU in between the 20s,
mm-hmm.
you couldn't stop them, and then they'd get in the red zone and they'd have to settle for field goals or throw picks, and I think SMU is light years better than Tulsa. So Oklahoma -8 against Texas.
Man, those games have been close lately. I tend to lean towards Texas.
I'm going to take Texas. Eight. If it stays outside of a touchdown,
yeah,
I think I'm going Horn there.
I'm with you.
And I'll probably play that. Here's a fun one for you. I might actually play Baylor this week.
Oh, boy. You'll have to impress me here.
+25.5 at Okie State.
God, they're so much better than they were at the beginning of the year, but they still suck.
Over 72.
Yeah, I think that's happening sure.
That's a good number. I'll take the over on that. A&M +3 at Florida. That's opened at Florida -5.5 down to 3.
I'm not betting on Florida anymore.
I'm not either.
Those guys are embarrassing.
But I'm not betting on Aggie either.
No, me neither.
Those are two teams.
I'll pass on
that. Yeah, I've got them both scratched off my list to ever bet on again.
Yeah, no thanks.
So a couple NFL ones we mentioned. The Texans -10 against the Browns. I'm going to keep an eye on that. I'm hoping it jumps inside of 10. Patriots -9.5 at the Jets.
Man, Patriots have been, they're not blowing teams out the way we thought they were. It's probably, I'll probably pass on that.
Yeah, Falcons minus 11.5 against the Dolphins.
Well, and it's easy for me to forget this, and I, hearing that number makes me instantly go, oh, I'll take the Falcons
because
the Dolphins are miserable. But the Falcons didn't play this last week, which is a good thing.
Yeah, they had some injuries. So.
But the Falcons also, they weren't exactly looking like the old Super Bowl Falcons before their bye week. So they haven't been as dominant this year either. So I'll probably that's probably not enough for me. What's the number on the Thursday night game? That's what I'm looking for.
I'm actually kind of interested in this. Well, this is a good matchup for a Thursday night.
No doubt.
And usually we're getting these garbage games.
Because earlier, I looked earlier today and it said Eagles plus 3, and that was plus 105.
Panthers minus 3.5.
I like the Eagles on that game. I might be Eagles money line on that game. How about that?
Wow.
How about that bold prediction, Fred?
I'm always worried about those Thursday night games. The road team especially scares me, even though I like this Eagles team. I think they're pretty damn good. But I also think the Panthers are coming around.
The Panthers they're 4-1. I should think they're good, and I just don't.
Well, we've finally seen now, and I kind of wrote it off because it was against the Patriots.
Yeah.
You can't stop anybody. But Cam Newton had another really good game against the Lions, too. So I think he's coming around. He's finally starting to get healthy. I'm going to squeeze in a call here.
Sure.
Tyler. You're on the Blitz. Go.
Sports, fellas. It's been a while. How y'all doing?
We're doing sports, man. What's up?
I'm calling about the Indians. The Indians' little run they had, 20-plus games in a row. Wondering if you guys think that might affect them, you know, down the line. I mean, I think right now it's, you know, clearly affecting them. They totally manhandled the Yankees most of the season, and the Yankees are making it a game. And also wanted to see if that last little stretch, you know, them taking the home field from us, if you guys think that might make a difference in the long haul, you know, when it comes down to if we do face the Indians and they get the home field. But hang up and listen.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I said all along when the Astros were pushing to be the best team in the AL in the regular season, in my mind, it didn't matter that much, because the Astros were such a good road team this year. And I mean, but then again, so were the Indians. The Astros and the Indians tied for the best road record in baseball. So I didn't think that either one of them was just going to be at some huge disadvantage. And by the way, both of them better on the road than at home. So I don't think it's like a huge advantage one way or the other to have home field advantage in that series. And I don't know that, I mean, I can't imagine, you know, winning 22 games in a row somehow can be a negative. I think that team built up a lot of confidence during that stretch. There's just a different atmosphere in the playoffs. And, you know, they beat the Yankees a few times. I think they beat the Yankees 4 times in that run. But playoff baseball is different, and the intensity is different, and the pressure is different. Yeah. You know, if the Indians lost, you know, the 5th or 6th game of that streak, no one would care. You start to lose games in the playoffs, people care. There's a lot of pressure on these guys. And the Indians are a team that I think, especially against these Yankees, the Yankees have nothing to lose, because this Yankees team, way ahead of schedule. I don't think anybody thought the Yankees were going to be, you know, trying to make a run in the playoffs with the pitching they had going into this year. And
I thought bullpen-wise, but not starting pitching. I didn't think they were good enough.
Yeah, and to have Luis Severino go out and do what he did last night and basically save their bullpen for a Game 5, I didn't see that coming. So I just think that it's a different level of intensity, and, you know, the Yankees are giving them all they want right now.
And I don't think anybody expected Aaron Judge to be what he was either.
No.
Let's be honest. I think you thought he was going to be a player, but he had an MVP-type season. That's what we should have asked Olney, who he's going to vote for. I'm guessing he's voting for Judge.
Yeah, he might not have told us.
He's got a little Yankee thing going there. All right, quick break. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hey, you remember a couple years ago, I guess it's a few years ago now, when Gary Anderson left Wisconsin and we thought, that's a weird move after only a couple years there?
Right.
Well, he's out at Oregon State. And I want to know what the hell happened to him, because when he took over at Utah State, they had not had a winning season since 1997. And they only had like two in the 30 years prior to that. So he goes 4-8, 4-8, and then a couple of winning years. Then he goes to Wisconsin, has two great years. Well, good years. And Wisconsin, I guess it doesn't matter who coaches, you're going to win nine or 10 games every year. But then he leaves to go to Oregon State, and his career falls off the map. I mean, they're just awful. And he gets fired. I wonder what happened to him. Did he just forget how to coach?
I don't know.
Or did he make a bad choice? Because we always talk about coaches being a good fit. And I also thought it was an equally odd fit that Mike Riley was hired by Nebraska. Looks like I'm right about that one, too. Although I don't know if Nebraska can still be Nebraska in that conference.
I don't either. Nebraska, I think I don't want to call it a mistake, but Nebraska and A&M are dealing with the same repercussions from leaving the Big 12. While maybe grass was greener and they've got a better placement in their conference and they don't feel like they're not equals or that you know, whatever the case may be about their feelings, and I'm sure the money's good too. Because they're
well, let's the Big not, 12, yeah, let's
the,
not,
the pie was not divided equally in the Big 12.
Yeah, let's not sell that short. It's raised the profile of both programs significantly.
But
they made a lot of money.
Has it raised the profile of Nebraska?
Maybe not Nebraska. It has A&M.
A&M it has. I don't know if it has Nebraska. But either way, the level of competition got greater, and neither one of those programs has answered the bell. I mean, they've both failed to rise with the tide.
I'm gonna disagree on A&M a little bit, considering where they were. I think they've been consistent. Nebraska was a national championship contender. A&M wasn't. So, you know, Nebraska, I think you could look at it and say no, but you know, A&M, even though 8-4 every year in that conference, to me that should be. I mean, that's
well. Are they any closer to winning anything?
Well, if you mean winning the conference, as long as Alabama's there, no, they're never gonna be. But
because I think you could argue that some of the teams that A&M's had the last couple of years, specifically when they had John Football, that team it could have won the Big 12.
Maybe. I don't know if you get some of the kids you got if you're still in the Big 12, though.
Maybe not. I mean, that's the trade-off. But, yeah. I mean, like I'm saying, the level of competition has gotten greater. And it's not, you know. And they were, when they left the Big 12, they were middle of the pack in the Big 12 too, so
that's the thing.
It's basically it's lateral, but my point is they're just not really closer. The weird thing is they were their last year in the Big 12, or their first year in the SEC is the year that they had John Football.
Right. Well, the first 2 years.
The year they won 11 games, right?
Right.
And then went to the Cotton Bowl. That year, they would have won the Big 12. And I can't imagine that it was, I mean, it wasn't the exact same team that they'd had in the Big 12 with Mike Sherman the year before, but the new coach and John Football made such a big difference, you know, and I think John Football didn't care if he was going to A&M, whether it was the Big 12 or the SEC. I don't think that was stopping him, but I don't know. I mean,
yeah, it was the right move for A&M. In my mind, there's no doubt it was the right move. And I didn't like it at the beginning, but more because I don't like all these traditional rivalries not happening anymore. But in the end, A&M's better for it. And I wouldn't want to still be hanging around the Big 12 not knowing how that thing's going to look. If Texas ever decides to bolt, it's gone.
Yeah.
And A&M wouldn't have been able to carry it on their own. And so, I mean, that's not a stable atmosphere.
Well, what about Missouri? Did Missouri make the right call?
I think they did, yeah.
Okay. Because they are the opposite of competitive now.
They were pretty good, though. They were pretty good when they first got there. It's just their coach got sick and left.
Yeah.
And I again,
And Colorado, you can't dispute. Colorado made the right call.
Yeah.
I mean, Colorado was, they were basically Kansas in the Big 12, and they've turned into a decent football program. So I can't.
Well, they were pretty bad when they first got there, but they hired the right coach. They hired the right coach.
But where they're at now, I think they've got to be happy, right?
Yeah. No, I honestly think when you look at the other schools in the Big 12 besides Texas, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, maybe West Virginia, most of those schools wouldn't be in a Power Five. Maybe Texas Tech. Most of Baylor certainly wouldn't.
Baylor would not.
Kansas would be for basketball, but not football.
Yeah.
Iowa State certainly wouldn't.
Nope.
And, you know, so those schools have to be thrilled. And if you're Oklahoma or Texas, you're making a ton of money, you're happy.
Oh, they're happy with the way it works.
And I think Tech's borderline. I'd say Tech and West Virginia would be the two. And I don't think, you know, TCU's got a great program, but would another conference want to come take them?
I don't know. West Virginia, I don't think, is borderline. I think West Virginia could be, I mean, they're better than a lot of ACC programs. You know, West Virginia is a respected football program.
I'll put West Virginia on that list, too. They're probably at the Okie State level.
I think so. Maybe even higher than Okie State.
Yeah.
Because Okie State's sort of Johnny come lately compared to them.
But like I say, if Texas and Oklahoma. Present,
well, we've always said if Texas and Oklahoma leave the Big 12, the conference doesn't exist.
No, but. Which schools would somebody come and pick up? And probably West Virginia. I'm assuming Oklahoma State would go wherever Oklahoma does.
Right.
But who else?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think any Power Five conferences are picking up anybody else.
So,
like, what Power Five conference would pick up Texas Tech?
No, the Big Ten? The Pac-12 already didn't want them. They don't have the academics for the Big Ten.
I just don't think it happens.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
So, yeah, that's always sort of been the case.
And that's why I don't fault any of those schools for leaving, and I think they all made the right move because they're in a lot more solid place now.
Well, here's the difference, though. Nebraska was never in danger of not being picked up if things fell apart. Neither was Texas A&M. Those two, if the conference fell apart, those two always would have found a place.
No, but it's better to be proactive.
Yeah, maybe so.
Because who knows if the Big Ten had added a bunch more teams, there might not have been a spot there.
Yeah.
And the SEC isn't exactly going out of its way to expand either. I mean, if the fact that they did it, you know, that at the time, I thought, you know, hey, good move. It's interesting. See, I didn't want to do sports that segment. I apologize. I just saw the Gary Anderson thing, and I just thought it was weird that here's a guy who was really an up-and-coming, good football coach, had the Wisconsin job, and we talked about it at the time. That's weird that he's bailing. And then he gets out there and just goes to hell.
Yeah. That is an interesting tale.
Yeah. I don't know how we got on Aggie and everything.
I don't know how I went to that either. That was not the plan. That was not the plan of this segment.
No, it really wasn't. We were going to do something non-sportsy. And see, I'm kind of screwed because my Hey Man bleeped that today. That was already my earlier rant.
You've already used it up?
Yeah. But we were talking about it, so I kind of felt like that was the time. I'm going to have to find another one on the break.
Okay.
But... yeah, I just. Oh, and somebody asking, does see that Tillman mentioned that he'd like to have the NHL in Houston? Yeah, I'm going to write a column on that sometime tonight. I like the potential of it happening. There's some pretty good rumors out there right now, too.
Yeah.
And I'll address that on Sports Map.
There you go.
Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and 94.1. We'll be right back.
All right, guys, got to tell you about Man Centers of Houston. Man Centers, better life start here. And if you're having any kind of pain or concerns about your man areas, Man Centers is the place to check out. They are not like your normal primary care facility. Man Centers focuses on male urology that your primary care physician may not focus on at all. Whether it's genital pain or prostate urinary issues, they can take care of you there at Man Centers. They've got something for you. If you're experiencing any of that kind of pain, book a quick and easy checkup with Man Centers. Women have OBGYNs. Men have Man Centers. Don't be afraid to use them. Don't be ashamed to use them. That's what they're there for. Man Centers takes most insurances. Give them a call. See if they can help you out. 832 832- 358-8600 or go to mancenters.com. They have their location here in the Memorial area off I-10 in Campbell. And then they've got two new locations open in Pearland and Tomball. And for the month of October only, free male wellness checks for all new patients. It's a great time to check out ManCenters. ManCenters.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. One segment to go. And I need to tell you that the journey to Jacksonville has begun. We're giving away a trip for two to Jacksonville, Florida to see Houston take on Jacksonville December 17th. Log on to ESPN975.com or SportsMap94.1.com to find out three ways to qualify for the grand prize drawing on November 24th. You could win a three-night stay at the DoubleTree by Hilton Hotel downtown Jacksonville Riverfront, go to the football game at Everbank Field, and play a round of golf at the Hidden Hills Golf Club, courtesy of Florida's First Coast of Golf. Visit Florida and ESPN975. All right. Can I go last on the Hey Man Bleep That?
You can go last.
Because I'm still working on mine.
How much is a new iPhone, John?
What size?
You got, you know the price for both of them?
Yeah, the 60, the 10 you're talking about?
Yeah.
Or the 8?
The both of them.
The 8, I don't know the price about the 8.
I think it's $800.
Something like that. But that one just came out, but the 10 is coming out in about a month or so.
Is it iPhone 10 or is it iPhone X?
They call it the X, but I guess it's a 10 because it's 10th anniversary.
Okay.
But anyway, that one's coming out.
It'd be weird if they just skip 9, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. But that one's coming out in November. That one for 64 gigs is $1,000. And they skipped the 128 because it's Apple.
Yeah.
And if you want the next one, it's 256 for 100 and... No, what was it? $1,150, I think? Something like that.
The guy who... Is it Joni Ive? Is that the guy who's in charge of it? Of Apple now? Do you know if that's the right pronunciation?
Tim Cook's not there anymore?
Joni Ive's the design guy. He's like the guy in charge of designing all the products. He's their chief design officer. They asked him how the iPhone has changed the world. He said, like any tool, you can see there's wonderful use and then there's misuse. Pressed for what he considers misuse of the iPhone, he replied, perhaps constant use. He's noticed that a lot of people sort of detach themselves from the world around you, screen addiction, things like that. Let me tell you something. I pay $1,100-something for that phone. I should be able to be on it whenever I want. I don't need the real world around me if I paid $1,100 for a phone. I don't think there should be a misuse, constant use. Get out of here with that.
I think I saw a story about this person dying because they were on their phone for like 24 hours or something crazy.
It's like those kids who play video games for 4 days straight.
This woman went blind.
Oh, okay. That's what it was.
I had the story on the rundown.
Yeah, yeah. I was reading that.
Well, can I, before you bleep this, can I just
I've already bleeped it, but you can add on.
Okay. Well, could this be contributing to why I don't want to leave the house anymore? Because I got an iPhone. Everything I want is in here pretty much.
Maybe so. That iPhone can't get you drunk.
Well, but I got whiskey for that.
It's true.
And right there in my, I don't have to go pay for it anywhere. It's right there in my home.
It could be. Mostly my issue is I just don't like very many people, and particularly I don't like interacting with strangers.
See, I always liked that, but honestly, and I don't know, maybe this is a bigger psychological issue. I'm not really wanting to be out and around a lot of people anymore, and little things bother me. Like if I go to the bar and there's a bunch of loud drunks there.
Well, I don't like that.
I just leave. I don't even... Yeah, I just don't want to be around it anymore. I'm worried that something's wrong with me, AJ.
Well, to that I say, hey, man, that.
So this new Star Wars trailer came out, I believe it was yesterday. And
you guys didn't talk about it on the show?
Oh, we did. Okay, we did.
Good.
One thing that bothers me that Star Wars does, they seem to do, is introduce weird and annoying characters. The first three, the original series, the original trilogy had the Ewoks.
Worst thing ever.
Mm-hmm. And the first trilogy had Jar Jar Binks.
Second worst thing ever.
And now we get Porgs. What do you say? What are they? What are they? You ask.
What are they, Jung?
They look like little bunnies with like giant eyes. And in the trailer, Chewbacca is, you know, I can't do a very good Chewbacca. It's like, oh.
Nice.
Oh, that's good. But in the ship, Chewbacca's in the ship.
In the what?
Ship.
Oh.
Ship.
Don't want to have to dump it twice again.
Say, did we get dumped on Sports Map Radio again?
He's on a ship. He's driving the ship. And the Porg is right, I guess, on the dashboard. And he's going, I'm like, oh my god.
I don't like that.
I was like, oh my god, they have to introduce a annoying character every single trilogy.
Oh, you know who else you forgot?
It's a trap.
I don't know.
You think that's annoying?
Yeah. Annoying. He had one line.
Oh god, he was a fish. It was a fish-headed something squid.
That
deal.
Was the best.
To that I say, hey man, fuck that.
All right, well.
What about you, Fred? What says you?
The thing I was going to get into is how I'm really getting where, I mean, I have to have Twitter for my job, but I'm not posting much of anything other than here's an article, here's what we got coming up, you know, listen to RJ and me on the show tonight. And I'm increasingly using Twitter less to see what people are talking about. And I think it's in part, you know, it gets back to the issue I was talking about earlier, where everybody is, you know, they'll get on there and they're trying to troll you or they're slander you. And it's not just me. It's people I respect that you see some of the things they say about them. And you're just like, no, I don't get it anymore. So I'm going to block a lot more people. Even if I know you, if you do something that I think is inappropriate, I'm going to block you.
Look at you.
And
you're taking a stand, you're saying?
Well, and honestly, I'm not going to think twice about it. And I'm not going to. You know, I just don't care. If you're trying to start a beef with me, forget it. It's not going to happen. I'm just going to block you and move on. Ain't nobody got time for that.
That's fair.
Let's try to be nice to each other, okay? Let's actually try to have conversations. Let's respect each other. Is that too much to ask?
It's overrated, but okay.
For those of you who can, I say,
hey, man, f*** that.
All right. I'm just going to wrap it up. I want to thank Jong Lee, AJ Hoffman, Jerome Solomon, Buster Olney. Be back tomorrow. Till then, stay sportsy, bitches.